it says start recording. It won't start. So, why did it wait till I was done singing? See, that's annoying. Okay. Hi. This is the Meanwhile Podcast. This is Kelvet. I'm here with Aaronette.
Hey, hey.
Lunette.
Hey, now.
And Tiffany.
Hey, guys.
All right. Today we're going to talk about episode 2 of season 4 of Insecure. And this episode is called Low Key Distant.
Mm-hmm.
Low Key Distant, the recap. All right. Anything immediately pop out to you about this episode, or are we just going to start at the top? We're going to take it from the beginning.
So I will have to say I've figured out what the title is coming from. It's the distance between Molly
Ooh.
And Issa.
Yes.
That they don't realize is happening. That's why I'm saying low-key. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, low-key distant. We're starting at the very top. Yeah, and I also think maybe we could even put in there low-key distant about Molly and her guy.
Yes.
There's some low-key distance going on there.
Walls.
And then walls, barriers, all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
So we start this episode off with Issa and Condola, and they are having like a walk and talk, looking at the neighborhood, pointing to where everything's going to be. And then you realize that area is the image that we saw in the first episode that was all blacked out in the night. Okay. So then they give us 3 months before, 3.5 months before.
Mm. Didn't we start the top of this episode with Molly and her dude talking outside the shop? And then they went and he took that cake or something like that. And then it went to Condola and Issa? Or was that the last episode?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. So there was Molly and her guy talking at the restaurant. And then they show them talking about the cake. I forgot all about that.
Oh, yeah. Because then it was like you saw her trying to like connect with him and talk and be like, oh, well, you could talk to me about it. And him being like, nah, then like reverting to like sex instead of wanting to like talk about real things.
Yes. And that was the first time we got to see her and Asian Bae have sex. So I don't know if they had done it before, but this was the first time that they let us as the audience know that they're having sex. And for how bad I thought it was going to be, he looked like he had a strong hand.
Oh. That's a good way of saying it.
Like he has some grip on the situation. I was like, okay, little fella.
Oh wow.
Yeah. But was that too much, or was that just the right amount of intimacy?
I think that was appropriate. Like it wasn't like overkill.
Okay.
It wasn't overkill.
Ditto.
Until later. To that.
Why'd I be getting... Okay. We're going to go there. Okay. And then that was followed by the conversation with Issa and Condola.
Mm-hmm.
And Lawrence's name comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening at that point?
So what happened was... Issa was being the friend that she is, just asking Condola about, oh, like, what you got going on this weekend? Condola's like, oh, I'm going to Ojai. Ojai Valley is very romantic. It's very Chagrin Falls. Like, yeah. If you were going on a little escape, like, it would be a nice little escape in the country. And it's romantic, usually, or an escape retreat kind of thing. So then that's when Issa was like, oh, romance. Okay, I got it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, by Condola and Issa's new relationship, I'm low-key loving it. I thought about some things. I mean, I like how they're very similar yet very different. I could see why they're good friends. I feel like they're both being very, I don't think it's just about business with Condola and her relationship with Issa. But that's just me.
She like, this is a cool chick. She's like, this is a cool chick.
I agree. I like their dynamic as friends. I really do. I think that they are very compatible and that they have a lot of similarities and they're very supportive of each other. It's like give, give, which any relationship should be, especially friendships. It's completely the opposite of her and Molly, where it's always give and take.
Okay. Yeah. So, anything pop out to you, Nat, at this point?
I still think it's kind of awkward.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Because she did date her ex.
Right.
So there's going to be some awkwardness there.
Yeah. I just think it's awkward. I'm glad that they can look past it at, you know, like when they were talking, they can look past it and, you know, move on and continue to just get along with each other. Mm-hmm. But I still think it's awkward.
Absolutely. I think that there's multiple ways to look at it. And there's definitely some weird moments there.
Very weird. And I think it's probably going to all come to a head at some point.
It definitely.
That's a good prediction.
That's a good prediction. Yeah, it's going to be good. So the Halloween episode, I think I'm the only one that came in costume. Tiff came naked. But let me see the rest of y'all's costumes. Okay. What you got on? You ain't even putting nothing on your head, Lynette. Yeah, I thought you were going to do something. Okay. So I came as the Little Mermaid, clearly.
I'm sorry. I forgot.
Okay, you forgot. Okay, I got on my feet.
A lot going on here.
I know. Yes. Yeah. So the Halloween party. Because I did not know who Issa's character was. But Lynette said that she is...
A jigaboo.
A jigaboo from...
School Days.
Okay. Because you don't know how long I was like searching my mind. I was like, where is that costume from? You know, and School Days is one of those movies that...
You've never watched because...
Don't you dare say that.
But it's on Netflix right now. Then I'll go so watch educate it. Yourself. Then I'll it's watch on it. Netflix.
Yes.
No, you're going to watch it. You need to, that's your assignment.
Okay.
As being an African American woman, this is your assignment to watch School Days on Netflix. It's on Netflix right now. I just watched it last week.
But I remember that from
we cannot do another podcast without you not seeing School Days. Okay.
No, but like truth is, we weren't allowed to watch that when we were little. And it's like, and now that it's available as an adult, I just saw that it was available on Netflix. So it's like, so those are all in my little list to watch. School Days, Bamboozled.
I just saw Boomerang last week.
But the thing of it is that those movies
OMG.
Come out when we were probably younger, but when we were college age, we were able to watch those. And I think that's when I watched them, when I was actually in college.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. Okay. One thing about no Spike Lee at college.
Because that's when He Got Game came out. And I was like, Spike Lee, He Got Game. Boop, 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 boop. And, you know, he had with Ray Allen and he had those girls trying to recruit him for college. And that's when I learned that's how you get a guy to come to the college. You know, you got to do whatever it takes to get them to come to your school. That's what I learned. That's what I learned from that movie.
All right.
Babes.
So, Molly's outfit, she was from Bring It On, and she was looking really cute.
Yeah.
Kelly was from Baps.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then Tiffany was
Cleopatra.
A pregnant Cleopatra.
So you saw Baps, but didn't see School Days.
Get her.
I lost a few brain cells watching Baps, okay?
Get her.
Quite a few brain cells. In School Days, you actually get educated on how it was for the Black community. It was actually educational. Baps, though? You know Baps? I'm done.
I love it.
I sometimes go by Baps. Like, that's my nickname at work, but that's another story.
Oop. So, that's what her name is in somebody's phone.
So at this point, Molly brings up Asian Bae, mm-hmm. Andrew, and she starts showing her insecurities. You know, she's like, you know, I don't know about this guy. And everybody's like, okay, he's good in bed. He got good banter. He got good conversation, good banter. And he got a good job. What's the problem? You know, so.
But did you peep what Issa said to her on their hike?
Oh, at the end? At the end of the episode?
Oh. Yeah, she kind of got her together.
Well, gathered her.
It's like, and there was also something that Kelly said during Halloween that caught me. Kelly was like, well, whatever, I heard this story already. And that leads me to without Issa. And I was like, wait a minute. She's like, I heard this story already. And I'm like, wait, well, why hasn't Issa heard this story from
right. Molly? There go that the title.
It's like, y'all low-key been distant from each other for a minute. This ain't nothing
mm-hmm.
new.
Mm-hmm. I peeped that too. And I was wondering if Issa was going to say something, like, because the way she looked for a minute. And then she just was like dismissive about it, like, okay, well, what's going on? What happened? Mm-hmm. Like, she just kind of like you could tell that there was a moment where, like, what?
Exactly.
Wait a minute.
She was like, what?
Come again?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
But it's like in that moment, I felt like Molly actually had a valid concern. And I was like, does she have a valid concern? I was like, because it doesn't seem like they talk about anything. From the conversation in the teaser where they were standing outside the restaurant, and now she's mm-hmm. bringing up that he doesn't talk about other stuff too. And then her friends automatically thought that she's just complaining and being Molly. And it sucks that Molly hasn't really grown with them, that she can say things like that, and they think that maybe she's maybe her concerns are valid. They're kind of like, oh, girl, it's like, ain't nothing wrong with him. But I don't know. It felt interesting in that moment for Molly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you get a chance to kind of see Molly complaining about something that she herself has been in the past. You know, the person that was withholding in the relationship, or the person that was kind of not willing to work in the relationship. So it's just interesting. But, so, I have a question for the group
mm-hmm.
about Halloween. So, in my mind, I thought that they were going to give us a lot more Halloween in this episode.
Same. It was very downplayed.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like Halloween other places, maybe it's just because a lot more people's families, like Halloween in Ohio is like a full-blown event. Mm-hmm. It's like, we got everything. It's like out here, they get excited about corn mazes and stuff like that or whatever. Mm-hmm. But Halloween in LA and Halloween to Ohio, they're not the same thing.
So are you willing to say that Halloween in Ohio owns Halloween in LA because they don't know what they're doing?
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I think too, it's just like a time mm-hmm. marker mm-hmm. for the show. Like, ooh. I don't think they were trying to make it into a big deal. I just wanted to tell you what
season,
like,
it was.
The time frame. Yeah.
It was fall. It was fall.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they were just using that as a marker.
Okay.
But that's concerning, because that means that little event going to be in, like, what, February, March? It's just too cold to be outside. Okay, see, that's why people was fighting. I don't know if anybody was fighting at the block party.
It would actually have been January, because it said 3 months before.
Maybe they're going to fight at that block party.
If that was October, November, December, January, yeah, 3 months before the block party. So the block party took place in January.
Mm. Wait, you think her and Molly going to fight? Like, fist fight? That's just the hypothesis.
I think they may have a blow up, but I don't think they're going to actually fight.
They're going to be like, just okay. But speaking of throwing in blows, Issa and TSA Bae come back for a hot little romp in the sack.
How was she not lightheaded? That's what I want to know.
Well, that's the point of that position. So when you lean off the edge of the bed and let your head, all the blood rush to your head, it gives you a different kind of orgasm. So,
and she would notice, wouldn't she?
What?
I cannot.
She don't drink, but.
All right. What is the doctor? What is her name? Dr. Ruth?
Okay. I know a few things. But yeah, because
she missed her calling to be a sex therapist. Is what
she's saying. Honey, the time has not passed me by. I will teach you. What do you need to know? Okay. No, but you could definitely. So that's what that position is about. So yeah, you get a head rush. You can make, and sometimes you black out a little bit, and that heightens the orgasm. So what? Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
How does that you don't, if you black out, then you don't feel nothing.
You don't know what you might feel because you're in another plane. Yeah, it's, yeah.
I'm over here thinking, oh, that was some amazing directing with the handheld mirror. I thought it was like very good directing. Like the handheld mirror talking to Issa, because you know, usually Issa talks to the mirror that's on the wall, mirror on the wall.
Right.
Now, oh yeah, in the bathroom. Oh, that was disgusting though.
Oh, like, that, so
that was disgusting. Like I may have threw up in my mouth a little bit in that moment. I think I probably did. That was gross.
I was like, holy cow. I was like, well, she found it.
Ooh, TMI, honey.
I cannot.
If you look closely, she smiled when she saw her yoni in the mirror. And she smiled because she saw strength. Just letting you guys know what I saw.
What? She, no, that, like, for them to get that reaction out of people after it splattered against the mirror, that was good. Because I think everybody had the same reaction. And if that's the reaction you were trying to get, you nailed it. You nailed that.
You nailed it.
Yeah, there was, yeah. But
in honestly, many ways, you nailed it.
Yeah, TSA Bay was, you know, he was putting in work. And actually,
he was so nonchalant about not having it on. He was like, had it on, and now it's not there anymore. I'm like, well, don't you need to look for that?
I knew they were going to bring up plan B. First of all, it was probably too loose. He Ooh. Probably needed a smaller size. He probably was like, gold wrappers, boo-boo. You might not be ready for gold wrappers, okay? Uh-huh. You know, get you some Trojan Blacks, you know, call it a day. Mm-hmm. He was trying something. Remember she said, it keep falling off. I keep having to take plan B. And I was like, right. You end up with a dispenser outside your bathroom. Just take it one every morning before you go to work.
What?
Huh? So no. that's what some people say. I don't know. This is, okay.
A hypothesis. It's like science class. It's a hypothesis.
So at this point, Lawrence is with the boys and he's talking about Condola and Issa, and he asking him questions about the relationship.
Okay, yeah, let's start here.
Okay, go for it.
I am highly offended by him. First of all, ain't nobody thinking about your little young looking self like that no more just because they having a conversation. Now all of a sudden you're like, I'm even here talking to me, having my name in her mouth. Really? You're not that important. I need you to come up off of that high horse that you have placed yourself on. Come back down to reality. You're not that big of an issue. And the conversation that they had about you wasn't even that deep. It was very surface. Mayonnaise is not something to talk about. Mayonnaise with fries. That's all. Like, get a life, bro. Nobody's talking about you like that. That really irritated me when he was doing all of that with his friends. And then his friends were not, they're always yes men. They get on my nerves. Somebody in that room should have been like, hey, bro, it's probably not that big of a deal. You probably just need to ask her what the conversation was so that you know the level of the depth of it was. Instead, you thinking, oh, they got my name in her mouth. Her name. We're talking about mayonnaise and fries. What by? Bye,
right.
Felicia.
But then we soon learned later that it wasn't just mayonnaise and fries. Like, because because we're talking about when they were sitting at the little dinner and it was him and Condola in that little diner. And then he went to his friend's place. Yeah, his friends, like, his one friend don't be caring. Isn't his one friend married? Aren't they both married?
No.
They both married.
One, oh, yeah, they are. They are.
I thought.
Yeah.
Well, the one in the middle is not married. Chad is not married.
I thought Chad did end up getting married to the girl.
I don't know if they married, but I know they got back together.
Okay, you're right.
They ever got married.
But oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Married to Tiffany.
Yeah.
Well, so let Tiffany, like, what else were they talking about? Because I must have missed that. Because I didn't hear nothing else. Like, I didn't. So,
later, when Lawrence went to Issa's to talk to Issa, and he texted her that he was outside.
Uh huh.
Then he brought up other things.
He did. I missed that. I didn't hear him say nothing.
Yeah. About.
Maybe I have to go back, but I didn't hear him say anything specific.
Tell me what you're talking
about. He just
said,
y'all were talking about, y'all, I just, you know, if we could not talk about me, conversation. He was like, I would appreciate if, you know, if you guys have conversations that I'm not brought up. But he never said anything specific.
Oh,
well, Issa brought up, I don't know if you're speaking in reference to the fact where Issa brought up that Lawrence is his middle name.
Not that part. Where they were sitting, it was when Condola was like, oh, I didn't know you did track in college. Because so it's like, so she told him about the mayonnaise. She told him about track in college. So then he's probably like, well, what else? Because it's like, if y'all talking about this, then what else are you talking about? And I understand his point. Where he doesn't want Condola to be learning about him through Issa. Because it feels messy, even if it isn't meant to be messy. And I know that Issa's doing it, like, because they're bonding, they're friends. But at the same time, it's just like, I don't think that that's cool. I think Condola needs to learn about him for herself.
And I think, but I think too, the way Issa handled it when they had their meeting was very adult of her. Like, she just, you know, she apologized. She didn't, you know, she made it very clear that that's not her intentions and she won't do it again. And she was very, like, it could have went south, but she handled it like an adult. And I appreciated that. I said, I started seeing her in a different light because old Issa would have went off on him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And got in her feelings, you know. But she actually handled it like an adult would. So I appreciated that moment. It showed her maturity level had changed.
Definitely. Oh my gosh, pardon me. Yeah. So this brings us to Molly and Issa are having lunch. Or no, Condola and Issa are meeting to finish up some work stuff. And Molly shows up. And this is kind of where that conflict starts with Molly and Condola and Issa, that triangle. Mm-hmm. And what happens is Condola is leaving and she says, oh, I'm hungry. And then Issa, being that they just had a great meeting, is like, oh my gosh, just sit down and stay, you know? And Molly is kind of upset because her whole thing is, well, I needed to talk to you about some things. And Issa says, well, we can talk on Sunday. You know, that's our day. What are your thoughts about this? This is about third wheeling. What's the thought?
I thought that, once again, it was all about Molly.
Mm.
Molly's woes. I didn't talk about me because I'm having issues and I don't care about what you're talking about type thing. Even though they may have had plans. I mean, I don't think it was a big deal for her to be there. And especially if they about to hang out again in the next couple of days. I just think there was, I don't know, I'm just not a fan of Molly, so I may be biased. I just don't like, she's very selfish. Like, everything is about her, like, all the time. And maybe it's the way they're recording it. Like, they want you guys to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe she's not always about her, but the way they're depicting it in the show, it just seems like she's always talking about herself.
Mm.
And it's kind of getting to a place of, I'm annoyed.
Mm.
Okay.
And I think that it's good character building, that as soon as people are like getting annoyed, the character actually does have valid points, but nobody wants to hear it anymore. Boy Who Cries Wolf. It's like, you were crying for so long. Now when you do have something to say, ain't nobody trying to hear you. And
right.
I feel like I've been Molly in that situation before where I went to something looking to talk, but then there's other people there and you're like, well, where did that come from? And, and then it's like, so part of you just has to let it go. But the other part has to be like, hey, I was looking for some one-on-one. Can we chit chat later? Something. It's like inviting.
But did she do that though?
Not really. She kind of fussed.
She was like, well, let's talk on, it's going to be me and you on such and such a day when we go hiking. Let's talk about it then. Do you mind? I mean, she asked her. I think that Issa would have been like, because she did ask her again, like, I can tell her to go. Didn't she?
Nah, yeah, she didn't. But then you don't want to make an issue out of it, because now it's an issue if you ask someone else to leave after you just told them that it was cool that they were there.
Nat, what do you think? Nat?
I wouldn't have cared either way.
We the same.
And even though she said Sunday, we can talk on Sunday, after we would have finished, me and her would have probably stayed and I would have talked to her and just went over some stuff with her. I understand. I agree with Lynette as far as, like, it's been about Molly, but I see the change. So if you notice in season 3, or was it not 3? No, season 1, where Issa was trying to be there. Molly needed Issa there for her, but Issa kept doing her own thing with the whole Daniel thing. Yeah. So it's kind of like she's doing it again in this situation as well. So, and I think Molly is kind of just like, you know what? I'm low-key tired. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And I think she's also low-key jealous.
Yeah.
I would. I don't. Jealous.
Not yet.
I think she's jealous of the relationship that's developing. That's for sure.
That's what I'm saying. She's jealous that, like, she's like, ooh, maybe they might be getting close. But maybe she's like, jealous is a strong word. So maybe it's too strong.
I want to say jealous is a strong word because jealous, like, I'm all for my friends making friends, you know, more power to, you know, that's great. We all need to, like, branch out. But at the same time, it's like, dude, this woman is sleeping with your ex. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm trying to be supportive of you. But at the same time, it's like, I know this probably ain't going to end well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I want to stick around. I want to be there for you. And I want to stick around and I want to keep my mouth shut because you doing your thing. But, you know.
Mm. Yeah. I
so here's my theory Molly on that, being, too, because.
Oh, my bad. I was about to say, I could see Molly being jealous because in their relationship of the four girlfriends, it was always Molly and Issa, then Kelly and Tiffany. And I could see Molly being territorial, like, oh, well, Issa's my friend. It reminds me very much of Sex and the City when Carrie Bradshaw made that new Australian friend while she was engaged to Aiden. And Carrie's gay husband was like, uh-uh. And it reminds me of that same feel where it's like, uh-uh, it's like you have one gay husband and it's me, is how Stanford felt. And I could see Molly feeling very much the same way in terms of Issa, because they look like they're friends. Like, they look like they've been friends. Like, it doesn't feel toxic on any level. And it's like, and she's dating your ex and you're still friends with her? So Molly does have something to kind of be scared of. If she can date your friend, your ex, and y'all be amicable still, yeah, that's dangerous.
And I think it also speaks to their levels of maturity too, because at for Issa, she has matured, and Molly's still in that same place, and you can really see it based off of this situation, where Issa back in the day may have reacted and responded or had maybe not even befriended this girl, but now that she is and Molly's still back in that same place, it's like, where are y'all as far as growth is concerned? Y'all not growing together no more. What's going on? That's what I'm seeing.
That makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense.
So Lawrence and Issa meet up in front of her building and they have that quick little talk. And that was kind of what you guys brought up about where, you know, they joke about his real name being Martin Lawrence, you know.
What's that?
Yeah. I thought that was cute.
Yeah,
and
then it was funny.
And then we go to Molly and she is cooking gumbo for her date.
Salty gumbo.
Salty gumbo. Yeah, so Andrew gets there and they're getting ready to have dinner and she's being Molly. She's being a little bit stubborn, you know, because the way he said it wasn't great, but the way she responded wasn't great either. Because he was like, ooh, it's salty, you know. And then she was like, is it salty, you know. But clearly it was salty, so.
Talking about a black person, I always know how when stuff is too salty. Like, really, you really had to say that?
She's like, I got seven uncles with hypertension. Now I think I know what salty is. But at the same time, I felt like she was trying. You ain't never seen Molly cook for nobody.
Yeah, she cooked for Drew.
And she cooked for, what's her name, Bay? Rent-A-Car Bay. She cooked for Rent-A-Car Bay.
Rent-A-Car Bay.
Remember she cooked that Chrissy Teigen recipe?
And Yeah.
Well, it's like with Asian Bay, though. Like, he came over and he was trying to hit again. Like, not even trying to have a conversation. Yeah. And she set down boundaries, and I was proud of her for that because she was trying to stick to her word and her boundary that she said that she was going to set with him with her girlfriends.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I appreciated her in that moment, like sticking to what she said for once.
And then it was very validating for the audience, probably myself included, when they sat down to talk, he brought up his sister. And then he was like she brought up his sister and he backed out. He was like, nope, you want to go to the concert? And it was like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, so maybe Molly was being right about you in this moment of you not wanting to open up about any real stuff.
And I think that it shows in that area that she's trying to do better. Maybe not on the friend side. But she's trying to cultivate real relationships as it pertains to men.
Right. Build intimacy.
And maybe, and maybe she learned her lesson from that other dude.
Drove.
That's fair. Yeah. So at this point, she does try to get him to open up. But I don't think that she had the skill set to do that. And what ended up happening is he became defensive and he shut down. And then at that point, he felt trapped and he flew. You know, he just was like, I got to go. But we do get a chance to see Molly trying something different, you know.
Definitely.
But her approach was maybe not the approach for that guy, you know, because you say it like that to a different guy and he responds. But for this guy, it wasn't the right way to get him to open up.
Nah.
Yeah. So, Andrew goes to the concert and then Molly calls Issa. And Issa is at the concert looking for this new rapper. What's his name? Baby Boy Saddle? What's the rapper's name?
Ain't it like Schoolboy Q or Q Schoolboy or something like that?
Oh, Schoolboy Q.
Yeah, Baby Boy Saddle, Schoolboy Q.
I like Schoolboy Q.
Well, they was trying to get
I him had to keep him. Looking like that because he looked like my cousin.
Oh, he might be your cousin. So,
never know.
Now, did you have something about Molly? Okay. So, she in the car and Issa calls Lawrence and is like, hey, by the way, is it okay if I tell Condola or what's the plan? He was like, nah, you don't need to tell Condola. And I was like, I thought that was kind of like, Issa seems cool. Like, that's what your girl does. That's what your friend does. Like, hey, I know we talked. Do you think that would make things worse or better? And she was like, nah, don't say nothing. I was like, perfect.
Then you she know. Tried to be his friend. And he was like, nope.
I did like that.
I hated it.
He's so dumb with him. He was like, I hate it. You hang up now.
It's like grow up, dude, but whatever.
Yeah, I think he might be a little bit salty still. It's awkward for him still. It's like the insecure has transferred. He's the one that's feeling insecure right now because he doesn't know that Issa has grown, and the grown Issa ain't gonna tell your business. She don't care. It's like, but the Issa of the past, she probably would have told her everything and been like, no, stay away from Lawrence. If you see a dude named Lawrence, stay away. But now she's like, oh, it's whatever.
So at this point, they're at the concert and Molly called and Issa took the, you know, gave her a message. And, you know, I think that happens sometimes where the first episode, Issa called Molly and Molly wasn't available. And then this episode, you get Molly calling Issa and Issa isn't available. And you just, you know, you kind of get them passing like ships because at this point they're growing up and people are changing and people's priorities are changing. And I think it's just interesting to see that. And then at this point, we go to Molly's job. Molly, you know, she was feeling good about herself. But then she had to confront that one guy. What's his name? That coworker.
Jayshon.
Aaronette, no. What's his name? The ball coworker that's
Torian.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, so she finally had to confront Torian about her behavior from last year.
Yeah.
You know, and I really feel like Torian handled it well. And I really was like, that's big of Molly because she did do wrong, you know. And I think that's one of the things about Insecure that I appreciate. They want you to love these characters, but they also will let you see these characters being dead wrong.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And I think that Molly's getting what she deserves in this work situation. Because people at work, it's like you're at home as much as you're at work. So you see these people a lot. And it's like, you should have treated this more like family and you treated this like a competitive, like corporate white space that she once was in. And it's like, this ain't the same type of office. Like that wasn't the vibe. And she came in and she brought that vibe with her thinking that that was going to be the same thing. And it's like, nah, you just messed up the vibe. So now you're going to get treated as such.
Right. That's what's going to be. So at work, you get to see how Molly is doing and I don't know. I think it was a good look. Like it was like, all right, we get to see her in this space, you know, and showing off and being able to improve at work, you know, and her hair looked gorgeous. So
I think she could have done a little bit better in the conference room, just covering up the fact that she had a note to say, and that could have saved him time. And it's like, I understand that right now she's trying not to do anything that she feels like is going to embarrass someone or do something that is going to make it seem like they're not doing it right or they don't know how to do their job. So she's kind of being tight-lipped in the meeting. And it's like, nah, Molly, it's like you should still be able to speak up if you know that you could help him with his pace. And it's like, she should have just said it and just be tactful about your words. That's it.
But the thing of it is that she didn't want to repeat what she did last season. So that's why they had the meeting. That's why he said something to her. And he was like, and that's when she apologized. So now that they are on possibly better terms, he may want her input now, whereas before she would give it before anyone requested it.
Ooh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I can see that.
And she jumped on stuff before anybody else had a chance to say anything. So she kind of she's treading back so that she doesn't continue to create. It's already awkward. It's already uncomfortable.
Yep.
So she's trying to take a step back so she doesn't continue to make it awkward because she knows she was wrong and she said it to him after that conference.
Right.
So now it's about moving forward and doing better.
Yeah.
You know, when you know better, you do better. So that's exactly what she's doing.
Yeah.
Okay. Teach the people. Yeah, and you could even tell by even what the head of their firm said. He's like, Molly, do you have a comment? Or Molly, do you have something to say? Molly, do you have something to add? Whatever that little comment he was, let us know that she used to be just saying stuff, like Ernest said.
Yeah. So we go into this last scene, which everybody has a lot to say about the walk on the canyon. What canyon were they at, Tiff?
Runyon Canyon.
Okay, so they were at Runyon Canyon taking a little hike in their Fashion Nova fits, looking adorable. And at this point, Issa and Molly talk about what's going on with Andrew. And well, in the scene before that, well, actually, Andrew does call Molly while she's at work and says, like, wait, no, that's right now. That's right now. Okay, that's about to happen. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So so Molly gets a call from Andrew after her and Issa were kind of talking. And Lynette, you say you feel like Issa kind of checked Molly.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
She was like, it seems like you kind of do this all the time. Like, you try to find something wrong with somebody all the time. Just chill out. I was like, ouch.
Yeah. And it was definitely like a reality check that Issa needed, because Molly needed, you know, because Molly does nitpick, so like with Lionel, that one guy that was like a real good looking black guy.
Yeah. It was very almost painful, but you could, like, Issa said it so plainly, so bluntly, like, well, she's like, do you want to be happy? She's like, because I'm like tired for you, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, damn, like, it's like how you respond. And then the phone call was like perfect timing. You get the phone call. He apologizes, letting us know that Molly was right. So it's like, so in Molly's form of growth, she's growing in the right direction still. And in his comment, she's still right. And it's like, so they just don't, y'all are on two different paths at this moment in time. You just don't know it yet.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that she doesn't tell her, you know, she says, oh, that was a work thing, you know, instead of saying, hey, that was Andrew calling to say something about a relationship. Side note, do you notice that at the very beginning of the episode, Andrew took a private call and said it was work?
Yeah.
At the end, Molly took a call and said it was work.
Uh-oh. You know?
And maybe the phone call that Andrew had wasn't work either, you know? Mm. So it's just like, people learn how to lie. People learn, you know, and they find ways to get out of stuff. That's what she was trying to do.
It's a good catch.
So
yeah, I peeped that call. He was like, it's a fool. But then the way he responded was like more like somebody played him, like he was gonna do something else and they were like, I can't come or something like that.
I thought he said he lost, like he was it sounded like he was referring to like a client. Like he lost a really big, and then he kind of like stopped talking.
That's him. That's the whole thing with him. Like he won't elaborate.
Whether it was actually a big client or whether it was one of his other girls, because, you know, he said that they weren't exclusive.
Right. All right. Well, so the episode kind of ends on Molly keeping secrets from her best friend. And right then, we all know that if Molly's whole thing is, I want everybody to tell the truth, give us more information, and you're lying, we always know that's going to bite you. That's going to come back on her, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I feel like that's just a very pivotal moment in relationships with friends, where it's like you're not telling them the truth. You're just kind of giving them, okay. Yeah, it's like, because now you're not being completely open with them the way that you once were. And it's like, but you haven't had that conversation yet where things are going to get a little bit heated.
Right.
And so... It's just important to find that, the sooner the better to find the time to talk about these type of things, because the more and more that they go on, we know that they're going to, like, blow up at each other.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, any last words or any predictions for next episode?
Nothing. I'm just ready for it to start.
Predictions.
I think they're going to dive into more of Molly and Issa's distance. I think they're setting the tone now, and I think everything is going to build up to that pivotal event to where it's completely done. So I think every episode is going to pull them further and further apart each time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that prediction wise, I could see the storyline being split between Issa and Molly, because usually the storyline is kind of split on Issa in whatever relationship she's in. And then her friends are kind of like the B story. But now I feel like it's going to be Molly is going to be the whole B story. And it's going to be Molly's story in the terms of like her new relationship with Asian Bae that is probably going to work out, honestly. I feel like that relationship is going to work out. And Issa's not going to be there to see it work out because they're going to be on two totally different paths. Issa got Condola. She's good.
I'm curious. Yeah. At this point, I definitely am sensing a blow up, but that's about it. Like, that's all I know that's coming. But that's because they told me. All right. Well, thank y'all for listening to the Meanwhile podcast. All righty. Bye.
See ya.
Bye.